TalkZone.com.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million-dollar interstellar media broadcast communication studios of TalkZone.com, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. Randall and Jim are ready to take your toll-free calls from anywhere in North America at 1-888-463-6748 and world listeners at 011-847-470-0937 from anywhere around the globe. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Welcome, 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 and thank you. Thank you very much. We've got a live crowd today, James.
Yes.
I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And we appreciate you joining us on our premier Talk Zone show today. Welcome to Lawyers Who Needs Them. My partner, Mr. Hartman, is considered one of Rochester's top trial attorneys, and he's argued cases before the United States Supreme Court.
And my partner, Randall Simonetti, is president and CEO of the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, serving over 12,000 people with this disease in 50 counties across upstate New York.
Now, each week, Jim and I attempt to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system
and inject some common sense and perhaps a sense of humor back in.
So if you don't have a sense of humor, turn this program off immediately,
right,
and go listen to something that's depressing.
And if you don't have a lawyer, stay with the program.
Right, exactly. By the time we're done, you won't want to talk to too many
right
of them. Anyway,
like
you can reach us if you have a question at any time. We'll stop what we're doing because we are very, very customer service sensitive, or listener service sensitive. You can call us anywhere from anywhere in North America at 1-888-463-6748. I'll repeat that, 1-888-463-6748. And if you happen to be in Australia, because occasionally we do get a number of calls from there. Jim was stationed there. Actually, he was in prison there for a number of years. It's 011-847-470-0937. I mean, you really have to have a long piece of paper to write this down. It's the country code is 011-847-470-0937. And our engineer, producer, and cohort, Randy, will take your call. He's very, very good. He's very quick. And as they used to say, he's slow, but he's sloppy.
That's right.
And you won't have any problem. He'll take care of you, and he'll get your question right on board. So without any further ado, James, let's kick off this week's premier edition of Lawyers Who Needs Them. Well, you know, it would be appropriate, after all the years of doing this program, to start with someone who really is just at the top of the list of legal talk shows in his career, not only as a football player, but as a bad guy.
Well,
so and today he's once again in the public eye, O.J. Simpson.
Well, they're picking a jury.
Right.
Again. He's had more juries picked.
Right.
I mean, it's picking season.
Right.
I'm surprised. At any rate,
he's got a great record. 36 arrests, no convictions.
Well, actually, you know, we remember the big trial, the big Los Angeles trial of Mr. Simpson when after 9 months of the trial, the jury came back in 3 hours.
Right, three
they
hours.
They were able to review 9 months of that evidence, if you can call it evidence, or whatever it was,
right,
in 3 hours and acquit him, which is fine. I mean, that was good. He got away with it, but that's good. Now, the other thing is he got sued civilly.
That's
now, you
correct
remember, and on this program, we'll discuss with you from time to time the difference between civil and criminal law and the various burdens that relate to both. But in the civil trial, he got nailed for a $33 million verdict,
mm-hmm,
which he owes to the Goldman family, which was this fellow that got stabbed with his wife. In any event, after that, things quieted down. They had this judgment for $33 million. What are you going to collect it from this guy? He ran to Florida, where they have a Homestead Act that would be fantastic. If you own a home, you get a homestead exemption, even if the home is worth gazillions of dollars.
So he can't be sued for
so
that.
So he can't take the home
right
in satisfaction of the judgment.
Right.
In any event, that's where it stood for a while. All of a sudden, Las Vegas. There he is, holding up or beating up or doing something with some friends to a guy claiming he's taking back memorabilia that belongs to him.
Right.
Well, in any event, he was caught and he was indicted, and now he's going to trial. Now it's a Las Vegas.
I was going to say, it's in Las
in
Vegas.
In Nevada.
And
yes.
It's a civil trial, not a criminal trial.
No, this is a criminal trial.
Criminal because
but
it's
the civil is over. The civil he paid,
he was nailed
for $33 million, which he still owes.
Right. That's
the
about
criminal
six
trial
pairs
for murder
of his
he
shoes,
got away
by the way.
With. But that's right. But now he's been indicted and will be tried for robbing at gunpoint the sports memorabilia dealers in a hotel.
Right.
But they probably had maybe one of these shows,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly.
Sports memorabilia.
Yep.
His memorabilia is the indictment for murder. Somebody had that. The true, as we call it, the true bill,
right.
And some other things.
Right.
And he's 61 years old now. It's hard to remember because we used to see him play in Buffalo.
That's right.
With the Buffalo Bills.
And Sister City down the street.
He was one heck of a ball player. Nobody will ever deny that.
Right.
But he seems to be not as good a thief as he was a running back or whatever he did because he bumbled. This one he bumbled. He didn't. He said he was retrieving stolen memorabilia. Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, in this country, when you want to retrieve something, you get a retriever. You can get a Labrador retriever.
A golden retriever.
Or you can get a golden retriever.
A Chesapeake Bay retriever.
You can get a Chesapeake Bay retriever.
Right.
You're right. Or you can just get somebody to retrieve it, like a lawyer or the sheriff or the police.
Right.
You don't retrieve it at gunpoint. With a bunch of thugs because it makes problems.
Plus, it's more expensive that way.
Why don't you let me finish?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, so they're selecting a 12-member panel. Now, from what I understand, they had 500 people in the pool. Not in the pool splashing.
The pool
around.
In Las Vegas?
No, not the pool splashing.
Oh,
around,
all right, okay.
But in the jury pool.
Okay.
And maybe they were in a pool splashing around. It's 106 degrees in Las Vegas. But in any event, they reduced that to 250 candidates, and obviously the jury is not yet chosen. But he can get a lot of time in the old Hoosgow, if, in fact, they nail this guy criminally.
All right.
So that's where we are with O.J.,
all righty.
The old juice.
That's right. He's gonna get some juice there
if
he's not careful.
Oh, he's terrific. I love the guy. He's terrific. What he can get away with, it's just marvelous.
I know. He's had quite a success record at getting away with things. Anyway, all right, let's go to our next case for today.
Yep.
This is an unusual case. We have a defendant here, and we're going to talk to you a little bit about how the competency of lawyers. This poor defendant has been sitting in jail for 2 years, and they haven't done anything in terms of whether he can, you know, get bail or whatever. Tell us a little bit more about this
poor fellow.
Well,
you're not going to believe this, but they forgot about him.
Oh.
I mean, he's laying around in jail. You would think they'd remember him only because every time they got to bring him a meal.
A food, right.
And give him a shower or whatever they do with these guys. They'd know he's there. But anyway, fortunately, a federal prosecutor, and this is in St. Louis, got concerned about the performance of the lawyer who represents this guy sitting in jail for almost 2 years with no action to secure his release on bond. I mean, he's being held pending a trial, apparently, which I don't know what happened to the Speedy Trial Act in St. Louis, but 2 years, and they didn't apply for a bond. Bond meaning bail.
Right, right, right.
And which gets you out pending the trial.
Mm-hmm. That's like a get-out-of-jail free card.
That's right. Well, no, not exactly free.
It's not free.
No, not free by any means. And the fellow's name is Joseph Shepard, Sr. Joseph A. Shepard, who's been sitting around for 2 years, being charged with an intent to sell methamphetamine and gun possession.
Oh, that's not very. That's, that's
today. Everybody is on selling. Everybody sells drugs, and everybody has a gun. So that's not a big deal. And they should have got him out on bail.
Jesus, sounds like a big deal to me.
But anyway, his lawyer, Michael P. Kelly, Mike, wake up, has not filed any documents on Shepard's behalf in all of 2007 or 2008.
Maybe he's afraid of him.
Apparently, he didn't seek his release on any bond or any bail or anything else.
All right.
And so this Assistant U.S. Attorney Catherine Hanaway said, quote, "I'm very concerned about his lawyer's performance."
Now, this is the person prosecuting.
I don't know what kind of performance she's talking about.
Right.
But if she's talking about his function as a lawyer, it's non-performance.
That's right.
That she ought to be concerned
That's
about.
Right.
This guy's sitting around. In any event, The thing has gotten sort of goofy, and the prosecutor also discovered that a federal magistrate failed to issue a ruling on evidence for all this time that his lawyer Kelly had challenged in the case, which is, you know, probably the right thing for his lawyer to do. But in the meantime, the prosecutors pointed out the delay. Finally, the magistrate issued a ruling on August 4th, excluding certain evidence. The U.S. Attorney, Ms. Hanaway, said prosecutors weren't required to move forward with the case while the evidence ruling was pending. She admitted, quote, "We weren't paying any attention." What a great answer. What a great answer. But you're not paying attention. This guy's sitting in jail, and as he said, he passed the time reading and praying. I got to believe he felt for a while God said no
nobody
to his
was listening,
prayers. But finally, his prayers have been answered, and they woke up. And they realize he's there, and I think they're going to let him out on bail. Now, as a matter of fact, for what the crime is, he's already spent more time in jail than the whole thing is worth.
Well, that they could just let him out, right?
Well, they probably could, but they got to try it and go through this trial and then say, you're sentenced to time already served.
Now,
and out you go.
This reminds me of a case we had some time ago where the guy was in jail for 26 years. Remember that?
That's right.
Can you comment on that?
Yes, I remember that. That happened about, a short time ago, maybe 6 months or so. This fellow spent 26 years in jail while the lawyers of another person who confessed to these lawyers that he had committed a crime, but they said they could not reveal that because of the attorney-client privilege. That is to say, the lawyer said, we knew that this fellow is sitting in jail absolutely innocent. And this happened in Cook County, Chicago. Cook County, Illinois. And the man who was in jail, his name was Alton Logan. Two lawyers stepped forward after their client, who also got convicted of a crime, I don't know what it was, had told the lawyers in the process of representing him that he actually had killed this fellow for whom Mr. Logan was in jail.
So they couldn't say anything.
Well, they said they couldn't. I am not so convinced. I don't believe privilege runs to the point where you let a guy rot in jail for 26 years who's absolutely innocent.
That's
There's
terrible.
Something wrong with that.
Yep.
Absolutely. But don't forget, he committed the crime, took place in 1982. This guy's got, finally they let him out. But the lawyers, this privilege business, that's ridiculous. By the way, the reason they finally fessed up to it is because their client, who was in jail, died. So the privilege doesn't longer attach if you're dead.
I don't know. It sounds to me like...
Well, there's something wrong with that.
No sign of intelligent life anywhere.
That's what it sounds like
to
me.
Right. Exactly.
No sign of intelligent life anywhere.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go to our next case. This is a famous,
very interesting.
Very interesting case here. Tommy Lee Jones, a very, very fine actor.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Yeah, you know what I like about him? He can play all different kinds of parts. He's a real actor.
Well, he always plays a tough guy, though. Even if he's
a tough
an investigator.
Guy. Right.
He's a tough guy.
He
was the guy that played the pursuing policeman in The Fugitive.
That's right. He plays all the...
He's no patsy, this guy.
No, and you know, he even plays funny parts. He played the lead in Men in Black, that science fiction
thing,
you know?
So he's done a lot of different kinds of parts. He's a very good actor.
He's very good. Now that we've established that, unfortunately, this is not a show about movies. It's a legal program. He is suing Paramount Pictures for $10 million. And we're happy to take the case.
We are, but he didn't ask.
He didn't call us.
Right.
All right.
Well, I'm not so sure I'd be happy to take the case.
This is not an easy one.
It's not an easy one at all because, you know, these guys in Hollywood, they do things differently. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Here's a guy who alleges that Paramount Pictures owes him $10 million because the proceeds... He was entitled to a share of the proceeds from No Country for Old Men. What happened?
I sneezed. I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right.
Did you hear it? I covered my microphone.
It was like yours. You almost blew the wall out.
I know it. I have to repaint.
I know.
It's terrible.
Sorry
about that.
And so the film, No Country for Old Men, that netted $160 million.
And that is a violent movie, by the way.
Well, I know it's violent.
I couldn't watch it. I had to
I'm
have
not
a...
worried about the violence. We're worried about the money now.
What about the fee? I know. It's always about the fee.
So he claims they owe him some dough. here, the problem is he's got a contract. And the contract sends, lays out the terms.
Okay.
Now, you and I know when you have a contract, you don't have to be a lawyer to know that if it's important, put it in the contract. Because you can't say, whoops, we meant to put it in the contract.
Right.
Or, whoops, I thought it was in the contract. Or, oops, it should have been in the contract. And that's what he's really saying. He said that his contract had known errors, not corrected before the movie was made.
Well,
Tommy Lee, correct him. You're going to have a tough time.
Question.
All
right.
You have a tough time in court telling somebody, here, you're Tommy Lee Jones. You got a lot of money. I mean, the $10 million is probably chump change. But you're a very famous actor, a very good actor, a very intelligent guy, and you're saying, well, forget the contract. They promised me $10 million. What? I mean, come on. Now your question.
My question is, if in fact they had...
forgot it already.
No, I got it.
Yeah.
If in fact they had discussed these errors and that they were in the process of changing them, and that discussion was witnessed, would that be at least enough to move forward? Because he must have something to
sue
them on.
If it became... what you might call a Scrivener's error. They arrived at the meeting of the minds but never reduced it to writing.
The Scrivener's error.
And you can prove that nobody scrivened it.
Scrivened it.
They didn't scriven it.
Right.
A Scrivener's error is a contract where there's a typographical thing and nobody catches it and it actually changes the meaning of the thing.
Right.
So that's what we call, if you can show it's a Scrivener's error and you have enough witnesses and they all say yes, they really meant to say this. They said no, but they meant to say yes. And if they can do that, and bear in mind, I don't know, they're suing in New Mexico, and I don't know the law of New Mexico, I think that each state may interpret their contract law a little differently, but basically, it's pretty much the same, and, I'm sorry, I think he's suing in Texas, in Bexar County,
in San Antonio, Texas. Oh, he's suing in his hometown.
I said New Mexico, but
yeah,
he's suing in Texas.
He lives in Texas, a Texas guy,
and yep. But I think you're going to have a tough time now. Maybe in Texas, the folks there see a Texan suing this big Paramount Studios. They might be inclined to say, yeah, they really meant this and the other thing. But however, it's a very interesting thing to see how people who are looked up to,
right,
and you would respect, make these, claims that, you say, why didn't he write it down? My God, it's $10 million.
Well, you would think that he would have an agent who's an attorney or an attorney with his agent that works these out. These actors don't get involved in this.
Look at
our great deal that we have with Talks on Radio. We didn't have a lawyer on this. And once again, we got screwed.
That's right. Listen, you had me.
I know.
Not good, but it's cheap.
You get what you pay for.
But the problem
was you were too shy.
I was.
You were a shyster lawyer.
That's right, the problem. That is.
All right.
Here this guy. Well,
does he have a chance on this or not?
Well, I suppose he has a chance.
What if
everybody
he gets that famous Texas lawyer, the guy that wears the buckskin jacket with all the dangles hanging
down?
Yeah,
but he's not from Texas. He's from, I think, Wyoming.
Oh,
Spence?
That's right. Right. Yeah. He ought to get that guy.
Maybe he's from Texas.
But he looks like a Texan, you see?
What does a Texan look like?
They're big.
Well, they are.
And the women have big hair.
They're really
big
midgets.
Hair.
If you knock the you-know-what out of them, they shrink down.
Yes. But the women have very big hair. In fact, only one woman can sit in the front seat of a car and one in the back. That's why in Texas you can't have two people in the front because the hair is so big, it goes right across the whole thing. I'm sure we're going to hear.
Is this relevant?
No, Your Honor, it's not.
That's right.
I throw myself on the mercy
of the court.
All right. Well, before you all throw yourself on the mercy of the court, we're going to take a short intermission. Gives Jim a time to calm down a little. He throws some cold water in his face. Does his hair. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's one hair.
It doesn't take long.
It's a hair.
It doesn't take long at all.
You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them, and we hope you stay with us right here on Talk Zone Radio. We'll be right back.
Every- Every hour of every day, an American is diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. MS typically strikes between the ages of 16 and 50 when people are building careers and raising families. Today, there is no known cause or cure for MS. To learn more about this unpredictable disease, to volunteer, or to make a contribution to this important mission, please call 1-800-FIGHT-MS. You can make a difference by helping us stop this devastating disease. Please call 1-800-FIGHT-MS today. Thank you.